Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to talk about a very common question, and that is about your timeline. How do you make a timeline specific for you? Because your timeline can be completely different than someone else's timeline. Jeff, you get this question a lot. What's your initial comment on how do you make a timeline for someone?
Yeah, like that's the first thing I used to do is like always compare people to myself. And I think that that's the worst thing that we as teachers can do is project that that's a necessity or not. Like comparing yourself to anyone, to include student eyes, it's just a killer of joy, right? It's like, that's not what we're looking for. So when I'm talking about timeline, the first thing I usually ask is age. What's your age? Right? That's really the first thing. And I'm only asking because, like, if someone's asking, they're 27 years old, I'm like, okay, it really kind of matters then.
Yes.
Like, we're really in our crunch time. But if someone's like anywhere between 18 and 24, I'm like, okay, whatever. Now the timeline I can put on you, I can go like, all right, well, if you really want to do this, like really want to do this, you have plenty of time to do it. And I think that that's like the big thing that I want people to take away before we get into some of the minutia, is that whether you're 18 and you take 4 months to get ready, or 18 and take 2 years to get ready, or 22 and take 3 months, and vice versa. It's like, it doesn't matter what your age is. If you have the allotted timeline to do it, you're in the driver's seat. Like, there's no like, oh my God, I'm 24, I'm missing out. No. If you're 24 or 22 or 26 and you rush, you're gonna miss out. So don't think like, oh my God, I'm 22, I'm behind the power curve. No. The average age of Buds graduates are 22. And like, wait a minute. But so, yeah, because so many people go 18 and 19 and quit or fail. So you're actually not behind the timeline if you go into Buds at 22.
No, I look at it as, you know, everybody talks about this window of going to Buds. You know, I will tell you this, 8 or 17, I guess, with a parent's permission, to 29, I guess, is the cutoff.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a window.
That's a decade.
That's a barn door. You know, that is like,
yeah,
like a semi truck can drive through that thing. I mean, that's So don't rush yourself. That's the biggest thing. I think the two biggest thing that drives people's timeline, and as me as a coach or trainer giving advice, is first athletic history. Because your athletic history is going to drive your strengths and weaknesses that you're coming into this journey with. The other one is, depending on officer enlisted, you may have a set timeline when you have to crush a PST. You know, in the officer programs, you got one PST you got to crush, and either you're in the program or you're not. Then you have a timeline to crush SOAS, which, you know, it's a 2 week test, and then you got another year before you go to Buds. I mean, so timeline's all jumbled up, you know, for the officer process. And it's only jumbled up on the enlisted process if you make it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're in the driver's seat on the enlisted side on the process. There's no reason to go talk to a recruiter if you cannot swim 500 yards easily. You know, you're really setting yourself up and screwing yourself with speeding up that timeline by going and talking to a recruiter too soon.
Yeah. So you got to just kind of like, let me give you kind of like the layman's 30,000 view of what Stu said, is like, for the officers, right? These guys are starting this process not at 18. I mean, granted, they're in the academy, or they're at the college at ROTC, or they're in college planning and goes to OCS. The point is that real SOAS selection doesn't happen until you're about 20 years old. So now, again, just like in an objective point of view, we go, okay, your enlisted guy can get all jumbled up at 18, 19 and create more confusion. Same thing at 23, whatever. But there is this physical maturing that's happening for the academy guys. Like, the academy, ROTC, is like, if a person is absolutely 100% intentious in going through OCS, ROTC, or the academy, let's just throw the academy out because it's kind of a little bit different. That timeline of preparation, like, starts kind of like your freshman year of college, but you're really not hold under a standard for SOAS until after your sophomore year. So I'm saying is, like, you still have this 18 to 20 year old physical and emotional preparation phase that's going to happen for your officer candidates. And that's what we keep saying is like, I kind of like say, hey, at 18 years old, you graduate high school, you've got to voluntarily put yourself in a similar timeline. Like I say, your prep starts, even if you've been training for BUD since you were 16, unless you had some crazy physical maturity and you hit puberty at 9 or 10, most people, right, use those 2 years. And that's what I always say, use those 2 years to prepare. Use that freshman year, sophomore year of college to prepare anyway. Now, because I always say, hey, because we can't do it. If I look back and go, well, my 20-year-old Jeff in a physical competition versus 18-year-old Jeff, 18-year-old Jeff had no chance.
Oh, yeah.
And that should be the standpoint for every 20-year-old. Every 20-year-old should be able to go, oh, 18-year-old me had no chance, both intellectually, emotionally, and physically. And that is what we're trying to develop with you guys in that timeline, not just get more pull-ups, man. There's some real emotional maturity that's going to happen in that process. And that's what we're saying also is valuable.
Yeah. Another thing that's valuable too, is at 18, you know everything. And then at 20, you realize how much you didn't know.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So when you were 18, and if that isn't the realization, you need a new mentor. Now I'm not like NSW mentor. I'm just saying in general life mentor. Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's kind of break it down for people and just kind of give maybe average timeline creation for people. So I have seen people come into our training program. You know, they were collegiate athlete. They lifted for several years. They could run, and maybe all they really had to do was tweak their swimming. You know, so in a matter of 3 or 4 months, that guy was ready to go to BUDS. He had all the elements of fitness fully developed, ready to go, right? I've also seen guys who come into the program, same type of, you know, collegiate athlete, maybe a different sport, but came in with huge amount of strength, really heavy, you know, probably 275, 280 type guy who needs to now spend a majority of his time losing weight, getting in shape at the same time, learning how to swim, learning how to run without crushing his legs. You know, so that timeline takes a little more time. You know, just as the flip side of the endurance athlete coming in, who can run, might be able to swim pretty well, and just is weak. You know, his calisthenics suck, his lifting sucks. You know, he's just a weak guy. So that process also takes some time to build some durability on that. So your athletic history is going to determine your strengths and weaknesses. You know, and Jeff and I did a really good podcast a while back ago where we didn't really discuss timeline, but we discussed an assessment tool of all the different lifts and calisthenics and cardio events, and where you should be in that journey. I'll put a link to it in this, in the description here. But there's also a podcast that goes with that as well. So that's, you know, your athletic history is going to determine your timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, so kind of trying to be objective as well is, okay, within this, how does someone determine? I think people always go, well, how do I determine when I'm ready? And I think that that's a real impossibility to try to wrap your head around. And it's an impossibility for us necessarily to say, hey, you're ready. Like, I know when someone's physically ready. I know that. I don't ever tell them that necessarily, just because it tends to cloud the process, the current process of what they're doing. So my point is going back on timeline a little bit, is we're also saying that if you're spending more than probably 2 years in preparation, you're having it, like, you know, granted there's injuries involved. Again, there's so many opportunities, you know, so many different, you know, people, and different, they come in at different points of readiness. So it's very impossible for us to say you're ready, you're not ready, here's the perfect timeline. But what we're saying within a timeline is really valuable, is that you should be seeing constant improvements through each phase of training, right? And that's like, when I say should, like, if you're not experiencing it, oh my God, is something wrong? No, it just gives you a point of like, you need to have more focus on assessing how you're feeling. Like, that's the thing, is because that's the whole special operations selection assessment outside of skill, is for you to be aware of what you're doing, right? And that's the thing, because you're going to encounter things at BUDS, you're going to encounter things in SQT, SF school, where the instructors are going to say, hey, I'm going to read the instructions loud one time, and only one time. Listen carefully, follow the instructions, good luck. That's all it's going to be. And they're literally going to read very slowly, very concisely. And someone's going to throw their hand up, and the instructor's going to look at you and go, put your hand down and listen. So for all of you that have a hard time following directions and listening, that's really the first timeline test that Stu and I have for you. Can you follow a program? Can you have enough patience to jump into a 6-week, 8-week, 10-week calisthenic weightlifting running program and get to the end without going, well, 3 weeks in, this didn't work for me, I changed. Oh, so now I'm doing this program. And then you're like, you know, you just put a bunch of shit in your timeline that just isn't going to suit your timeline because you're impatient. I can make a statement with absolute certainty is that if you follow either my programs or Stu's, each segment of it in its entirety, and you communicate how you're feeling with yourself or to us through those programs, if you go to a sticking point, you're not going to have a problem getting through selection physically. And that's what we're just saying, is like, the biggest thing is create a successful timeline, maybe a year, year and a half. Start with that. And then just populate it. Populate it with good programming based on the advice we give. And you're going to see that more than likely, you know, in your head, you're like, oh my God, this is going to take me 18 months to get ready. But if you're very vigilant and you have the opportunity to be vigilant about it, you're going to find yourself ready for selection and probably inside of a year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Reasonable.
That's a good point, because, you know, in hindsight, you know, a lot of the timelines that I have created for people really weren't timelines. They were performance lines.
Yep.
So they reach a level of performance, and sometimes you're going to, you know, just hit those levels of performance really quickly. You know, I've had guys, you know, go from a 10-minute swim to an 8-minute swim in a month. You know, that's really good. You know, a combination of conditioning and technique, and you can make those kind of improvements really fast. You know, strength improvements are a little slower. Running improvements, a little faster than strength improvements, but they can definitely get there. But, you know, once again, it really kind of depends on your strengths and weaknesses coming into it. So my advice is assess yourself and see where you stand amongst people who are going to BUDS a month away, right? That, yep. I always like that, because I was lucky in my world, you know, at the academy, is we had upperclassmen that were a year or 2 years ahead of us. And I just remember where they were when they left. And then 6 months later, I hear they make it through BUDS, and I'm like, that's where I need to be.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And that was a good indicator of what that was, you know, whether it was running and swimming and rucking and lifting and calisthenics, you know, and you have to make those adjustments to where you see those weaknesses. And the biggest thing is being honest with yourself and saying you have a weakness, because one of the worst things you can do, and I wrote an article on this the other day called, and I quoted Voltaire, and it was perfect is the enemy of good, right? And so, like, perfect is the enemy of good enough. And where people screw up on this timeline is they're at 20 pull-ups, but they want to get 30 pull-ups, or they're at a, you know, an 8-minute swim and they're trying to get sub-7. Right. I'm like, why? You know, it's not necessary. You know, let's work on something else that is the big elephant in the room, typically, you know, for the guy that can break 7 minutes on a swim, you know, look at his run. Right. Or for the guy that can, you know, do a 8-minute flat mile and a half, look at his PT scores.
Yeah.
Like, typically there's something out of balance there. Sometimes when you go really, really good at one thing, there's an equal and opposite weakness that you're just ignoring. And that is a pure element of just immaturity and not wanting to do things you don't like to do.
Yeah.
And thinking that your strength, like, cause your strengths in a sport world can compensate a lot for skill. So like jujitsu is a real, like, to a point, right? Like if you get a bunch of blue and purple belts, right, that have same skill, but you have some super athletic, strong ones that just dominate the blue and purple world, that balances itself out. Black belt, that's the sport, right, to a degree. But if you look at buds, same is that. It's that overwhelming, glaring weakness that will show itself, because the reality is what buds is really good at in other selections is, like, it's using your strengths against you. It's like, awesome, man. Like, you're really fucking strong. Here's an opportunity to express that strength. Well, you're going to deplete yourself in the expression of that strength naturally. Well, now you got to go work on your weakness after lunch, which is a run. You killed log PT. You exhaust yourself during log PT. And now you got to go do a 4-mile run. That's your weakness. You've depleted yourself within your strength. Now you're scaring yourself really and going, holy shit, this is serious now. Like I should have, because we got an email 2 weeks ago. Someone that's actively in first phase, they just finished their first PT, log PT, and it killed him. Just destroyed. He's like, it absolutely destroyed me. And I couldn't even hardly get the logs up. He was 140 pounds. He's like, what program of yours should I start doing? And I'm like, you get on your knees and you pray. Like, there's not, like, a year and a half ago, you should have done a hypertrophy program. He had 140 pounds. I can't imagine being a human being going into buds at 140 pounds. Like, I fucking can't imagine that. I'm sorry, my language. Yeah. Jeez. I don't even know what that would be like. It'd be like trying to be an NFL player at 140, 150.
Yeah.
It's like impossible.
Well, I will say this. There have been guys that small make it through buds. But there are some,
I know those guys,
wiry guys that are just tough as nails, and
all former wrestlers.
Yes.
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 All former collegiate wrestlers. Like, I had someone from Purdue in my buds class.
It is so tough. So tough.
Yeah.
But I will say this. The good news for them is that if they can get through Hell Week, they are going to not be under a log and a boat anymore.
Right.
So there is some good news for the short guy, or the small guy, is that as long as you can endure, you know, the first phase and Hell Week, you're not going to have that load issue anymore at buds. Yeah, you're going to be carrying tanks on your backs and rucks, but, you know, that's every day.
Oh, relative, type of, yeah.
But yeah, that's not that bad. But there is some good news to that. But yeah, man, I couldn't imagine going in that light. We had a guy that was, you know, very similar, like, just froze to death too. He was skinny, you know, he was just tough as nails, man. That guy.
Yeah. That's the only thing is, like, here's the thing is, the only time I hear people use those phrases, like, oh man, that guy was tough as shit. It was never the 6'4", 220 pound dude. No one ever referred to me as that. I was like, oh my God, look at how fucking tough he is. It's like, no, we're talking about the Smurf crew. It's like, for some reason. And so we're not, what I'm not talking is, I'm not talking height. I'm talking stature, right? The guys that went through at 140, 150, you know, they wrestled collegiate. They wrestled 118 or 125 in the Big Ten. Their natural body weight is 125, 130, and they're 140 with muscle on. And they're just a tank. There's a big difference between that dude and the guy that emailed me that's 5'9", 5'10", 140.
Big difference. That hurts. You know, I got the same email, and I think I shared it with you too. I was like, you should have worked out last year. Doing this program. But it generated an idea for me, and I wrote an article. It says, there will come a time when you can't get stronger, you can't get faster, you can't, have more endurance. You just have to get tougher.
Yeah.
Right. And when you go into training and your weakness is exposed in week one, there's no other option for you. You have to get tougher. Now, there are some things that you can get better at, like technique wise with swimming and technique with, you know, drown proofing or, you know, whatever those activities are, and, you know, do some practice. But, you know, for the most part, you know, when you're talking about an element of fitness, you know, strength, power, speed, agility, endurance, muscle stamina, there's no option for you when you're going through selection. You just have to get tougher and endure that weakness and bring your A game. I mean, that is going to be your crutch to bear for Buds.
Yeah. And that's the thing, guys. Like, this is where this, I don't know where this misconception lies or this misunderstanding is. Like, you know, we get people that understandably kind of do agree, go, hey, I'm at boot camp. What do? I got to get in shape, or I'm about to go. It's like, well, you should have already prepared. But it's strange to me that people are showing it to Buds that unprepared, in my mind. And so, but I look at it and go, well, all of this can be resolved by what we spoke about at the beginning of the video. It's like, understand that the military is not, their job is to not get you in shape. Unfortunate as that may sound, right? As weirdly enough, as like, it's not their job to get you guys in shape, and they're clearly not doing that, and that's okay. Like, thank you, United States Navy, Army, Marine Corps, and Air Force for not doing a good job. You're allowing a profession for Stu and I to do that we love and we're passionate about. So thank you for not doing a good job of training our candidates. And I don't mean that like in a negative way at all. Like, I really fundamentally don't think it is our military's job to get you in shape to go do something that nobody's making you do. Nobody is making you at gunpoint enlist or get your commission in the military. In most of you, like in our time, I decided to make that decision. We did in a time of war. So it's like, it's purely voluntary, and which also on my side makes it so remarkable of the men and women that our military is able to acquire without forcing them to. So like, what a great place. And so many of you find that the military is this amazing bastion of good men and women. And that's what we're trying to get you guys to, you know, get you in those special forces programs. You're going to look around and go, oh, my people, they're finally here, you know? So that all starts with the timeline, you know, and the last thing is like Stu, it's really cool as a coach, experiences it almost on a daily basis. When people come and train with him, those people that have come to train with him, they're all going to like, they're experiencing what like-minded training is all about. And the groups that train with us, the same thing. They come and we immerse them in a culture that is intentions are to train you safely, healthy for a real process. And that's where Buds itself, we're saying, get tougher. And you're like, how do you do that? Well, if you've prepared and you show up to Buds, that's what you're going to look around and go, oh, my people. It's energizing. It's so energizing. And you're like, I could go through this. Nothing's going to break me. You're right. Because you're around a bunch of other people that feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great environment, you know, especially if you've kind of missed the athletic competition world, you know, and you've kind of gone into that, you know, post high school, maybe you tried in college, or maybe you succeeded in college and did some athletics, and then eventually it's gone, you know, and then there's this other world that you can go into, and it's the military. And it doesn't matter what branch you're going into, you know, your people are going to be there, you know, depending on what you want to do. And it's a fun journey. So I'm not trying to discourage people from joining as quickly as possible, you know, because I want you to do that. But at the same time, I want you to be prepared so you can endure your journey, whatever that journey is. You know, if you have a decent athletic history and you just want to be in the Army, not special ops or nothing like that, you know, your athletic history probably is sufficient, depending on what that athletic history. I mean, you may not have to specifically train for anything, and boot camp will be a good process for you to actually become a soldier.
Yeah.
You know, it's when we talk about these timelines, it really just depends on what you're doing. And a good indicator for a longer timeline is if you're trying to go to a school that has a 50 to a 75% attrition rate, there's a reason for that. And most of the time is people did not adequately prepare enough before they joined the military.
Yeah. So yeah, here's the cliche, the funny, not to be silly. It's like, what is the best timeline for you? What's the best and the fastest? It's the one in which prepares you. Like, because think about it, it's like, if you get in a good program and you find out what your weaknesses are, and like you authentically go, oh, my weakness is running or whatever, and you go into your prep that with that mindset, rather than, oh, we're gonna fucking destroy everything. It's like, no, like, be honest, we can destroy everything later. We'll break that stuff later. But if you go in right now thinking, okay, my goal is to choose a good time that is best to prepare me, not only is that program or programs going to be the best for you, it'll be the shortest. Choosing the best programming for you will always be the shortest route. And I say the shortest because we're talking about successful route. I'm not talking about the route to failure. I'm immersing myself around Stu, because Stu knows how to get it done. Stu knows how to train people. Stu knows how to get people through that selection. That's what we're trying to do here. And we're finding certainly that the fastest way to get you guys through is adhering to a good timeline and good programming. And not negating, well, you know, I'll make up for it, or I'll get a little extra conditioning on Great Lakes. No.
No, you won't.
set your intentions and your programming while you have the choice as a civilian, and set your programming now while you have the freedom to do so, while you have the freedom to actually make mistakes, and then can ask Stu and I and other people to go, hey, I think I screwed this up. And go, no, stop what you're doing. Go do this. You're just barely off your timeline. You're awesome. Keep going. Don't want to show up without having any options. And that's why we're doing this, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one, man. I enjoy this conversation all the time because I have it all the time.
Yeah, right.
Really do. I mean, this is a daily conversation that I have with people on, hey, when do you think I'm ready? You know, can you do this? Then you're ready. if you can do all this, you're ready.
Ready, man. Yeah, you bet. So, you know, like, and that's the thing is, like, you guys are trying to, maybe many of you do this or not, but you've seen the spectrum of conversations that Stu and I have. And like, it really all comes down to stuff that's not super tangible, right? Like the programs, if you follow our programs with patience, you're going to be fine. Like, that's it. Like, that's all I can ethically say is, like, if you follow one or both of our programs in some capacity in a good timeline, you are going to be ready for the selection process. You're goal oriented to. You're going to.
Yes. Addressing your weaknesses along that journey has to be, right?
You bet.
Addressing weaknesses. Yeah. Addressing weaknesses and maintaining strengths. That's how the journey is successful.
Yeah. Cause that process, what he's saying is addressing those weaknesses and working on your strengths. But that's always going to keep you okay, I'm doing it. I'm progressing. Cause progress isn't perfection. Progress is progress. That's good. And we don't need it again, like to have like super stellar numbers. We just need, because again, the common thread for people that pass and fail buds is the PSD. So we need to train you and prepare you properly. And the PSD is just a part of that.
Yep. So. All right. So if anybody's looking for programming, check out Jeff's site, performancefirstus.com. You can go to mine at stusmithfitness.com. Jeff, any last words on the timeline issue?
No, I mean, I guess that we know that's a hard thing to do. Like, most of you are so motivated. That's the trick. Like, we got to pull the reins back on you, but Stu and I don't see you all every day. So that's on you now. You got to help pull the reins back on yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause you know, everybody's super motivated to go as soon as possible. I get that. I love that. But you just make sure you're addressing your weaknesses in that rush to join. But it's no need to rush. Now, on the flip side of that, those that are constantly trying to perfect everything and perfect everything before they go, and they never pull the trigger to go, that's a completely different side of the coin. That, you know, once again, perfect is the enemy of good enough.
Right.
You know, eventually, you're going to be good enough at everything that that you're wanting to do. And you just got to have the confidence to go and do it.
Yep. That was a big part for me. It was probably, if you run to hindsight, it's like, I was ready. When am I ready? I'm like, well, let's go find out if I'm ready. That was the scariest part. And now the thing is Stu and I didn't have people to help guide us like we are you all. We had to make that leap. It doesn't make us any more special, but it just makes the point that we had to make a leap just like you do. We can't do that for you.
Yeah. I didn't have anybody to say, you know what? You're good. But when you get there in a week, you're going to realize real quick if you're ready.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember that first week, it felt like a month. But I was like, I think I can do this. You know, I'm ready. You know? And that took a lot of the anxiety out of it. You're going to have a lot of anxiety going in a month prior. You know, that a lot of questions. Am I ready? That's natural. Don't sweat it.
As soon as I saw someone quit from two reasons, I had two things in my head I wanted to see. I wanted to see someone quit just because they couldn't emotionally handle it. Not to like, cause it was like, well, shit, like that's a validating. It's like, I'm handling it fine. Like that guy. Okay. Keep focused. And I wanted to see someone quit during a physical evolution because they couldn't do it. And now again, not to be like, oh, look at that guy. It's like, well, shit. Like, okay. How is that grinder PT for me? If it was too much for that guy emotionally or physically, then like, where do I sit? And that happened within the first couple minutes. And so I was like, oh shit, 10 people quit. Like, this worked good. Let's do this.
I was like, what? I remember actually talking to the guy next to me. I'm like, why is everybody quitting? You know, it hadn't gotten hard yet.
Yeah. You know, we're just doing all the stuff that we've tested so far. Yeah. Like, we're quitting. Yeah. So, but it was like, I remember after that first Friday, no shit. I remember that first Friday, I was like, wow, I made it through my first week of Buds. Like, and this one was supposed to be the most chaotic. I was like, okay, this is super chaotic. It's going to get better because you're going to learn Buds instructors' names. You're going to learn students' names. You're going to learn the process. This can't get anything but easier, right? No shit. Second week, I was like, that was way easier than the first week. Third week, it was like, that was easy. But then Hell Week shows up. It's like, then it's just all downhill.
That's a kick in the nuts.
Yeah. So anyways.
No, that was good. You know, I was telling you this, you know, Buds has not gotten easier. You know, I don't know why people ask me that all the time. It's like, it has not gotten easier. In fact, this first week of Buds, this last class, I had heard that they started with 163 or 169 and they're down to 63. So they lost over 100 people in the first week.
That's before Hell Week even. Yeah.
Oh, that's week class. One. Week one.
Week one is what I'm saying. Like, you lose half the class in week one.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Then you lose the other half after Hell Week.
Welcome to the course, the selection course that doesn't change. Why? Because the people that are Buds instructors endured the same sort of nonsense, the misery, the purpose that we did. Like, that's what's you gotta understand. That's what's never gonna change about these selection courses. Potentially, we hope that they don't ever change.
Yeah.
I hope that the cadre, right, are always gonna have to go through and be instructors, because then that standard will always be kept to a degree that's really manageable. And that's the same thing for Ranger school, for SF school, for PJ school control. That is why these special operations and selection courses, the cadre are relative, like they're recent relevant operators. You know, that is what people are always like, well, why is Bud so successful? That's why is the perpetuation in the hierarchy of Buds instructors from the CEO all the way to the youngest, newest Buds instructor all went through that exact same Hell Week process. And they're still tied into the teams. It's a real relevant process. it's not like so disassociated like college. You get your college degree and go, well, what am I going to do with this accounting degree? It's like, well, you got to find a job. It's like, no, the job interview is Buds and SQT. So you're going to have a job at the end of it.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. All right, Jeff, let's end with that. That's right. that was really good. That good timeline discussion. And just remember, be patient. Process works if you let it work and if you do the work.
You bet.
So.
All right, Stu. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Good job.
Take care. See you.